and welcome to East Daily's Midstream Edge podcast, where we connect molecules to money. I'm your host, Shireen Lakhani. I have AJ O'Donnell and Matt Lewis here in studio with me today. You guys are becoming regulars here.
Yeah, I feel like I'm on this every week. I feel like it's some sort of a star now.
It's only my second one. I have some catching up to do, but we'll
soon
see.
Enough. Yeah. I guarantee it. Just increase your coverage, like Matt. You know, just cover half the companies in our portfolio, and you know, you'll be a weekly regular.
Sure.
So a couple of news items this week. So I mean, obviously, this morning the Iran shooting a U.S. drone. It's been a hot button topic, and our listeners are probably going to get a lot of that coverage from a lot of different places, so I propose that we chat about something else. So more specifically, some buying and selling opportunities in the U.S. oil and gas markets, specifically the Comstock Covey Park purchase for $2.2 billion cash in stock, and then also the rumors on the street about Enterprise possibly selling its interest in the JV export terminal out of Corpus with Plains. Sound good agenda-wise for you guys?
Yeah, sounds awesome. Perfect. Cool.
So let's start with Comstock. Can you give me just like a rundown of the deal? What are some risks or, you know, upsides, just kind of the basics?
Yeah, so the deal was Comstock's actually, from a production standpoint, Comstock is actually the smaller company, but they will be purchasing Covey Park via the deal that you mentioned in the opening here, with some help from Jerry Jones, the Dallas Cowboys owner, who is making a bet on the Haynesville being a big driver of growth for U.S. natural gas and likely LNG exports going forward. So I believe he was quoted as saying he's compared this to when he bought the Dallas Cowboys, I believe it was 30-plus years ago, and he viewed that as a trough valuation. So that's what he's looking at in as far as investing in this deal. He thinks you're at probably trough valuations on some of these Haynesville and E&Ps with the gas price where it is. So that's the deal. It's actually Comstock's actually buying the bigger company, but it will produce when they do combine. It will be the biggest producer in the Haynesville, Ark-La-Tex, East Texas area.
Is that good for the Haynesville area, do you think?
This is one of those where we've kept our eye on a couple acquisitions that have happened there because they do have impacts for the midstream space. So I'll rewind a year or so ago when BP bought BHP's acreage. In a package deal where it included Eagle Ford, Permian, and mostly Haynesville acreage with that deal. That was a big deal because BHP wasn't terribly active on that acreage, especially in the Haynesville, and there was the view that BP would produce on that acreage going forward. BP has been slow to produce on that acreage going forward. They likely have future plans to do that. But in this case, you had two companies that were pretty active. Comstock ran 4 to 5 rigs, Covey Park running 4 to 5 rigs. I don't see that significantly changing going forward, and I don't see their mix of who they're using for midstream operators for gathering and treating and processing going forward. So from the midstream point of view, I will tell you that pulling the production numbers and pulling using our allocation model for G&P, the Enterprise, if we look just at Covey Park's production, Enterprise does about half of their gathering and processing and treating. Energy Transfer does about a quarter, and Azure, the GP that has survived through the bankruptcy, didn't actually go through bankruptcy, has the other 25%. So from that standpoint, you have Enterprise at about 50, Energy Transfer at about 25, and Azure at about 25. If we look at Comstock and who's doing the gathering and processing from them, it's about 30% Enterprise, 40% Energy Transfer, and then another 30 or so percent from KinderHawk, Kinder Morgan system up there. So there is some overlap on those midstream systems, but I don't see anything that jumps out at me to say, hey, this midstream system is going to be advantaged over this other one because of this deal. I would expect them to use the same systems going forward and have rig allocations and activities. I wouldn't significantly change those going forward. So kind of a snoozer from the midstream side, no significant changes in our modeling.
Cool, makes sense. Something that's not been as much of a snoozer. It is a rumor on the street, no confirmed announcements from either Enterprise or Planes on this, but the news is that Enterprise may be interested in selling its 50% interest in the newest JV Corpus dock with Planes. That's not to be confused with the Viola dock that is already in existence, but rather the Corpus dock that just went into operations this month in 2Q 2019. So give me the rundown. What kind of factors might be at play with this potential decision?
Yeah, so we've been talking about this a lot in the office this week, trying to look at it through a strategic eye. And what we're seeing is that EPD Planes, like especially EPD, strategically, they have more investment in the Houston market than they do in the Corpus market. So given that it's an inner harbor terminal and their investment in the Houston market versus or focused direct investment into the Houston market, it seems reasonable that they would be trying to sell it. Now, Planes could be a logical buyer for this asset, given that they already own 50% of it. But there are some other things that have been floating around the street and so forth, especially in regards to Carlyle Group's export terminal. They're looking to sell their 50% interest in this terminal for $625 million. And now, last week, with the Red Oak JV announcement, Planes is 50% owner of that, which equates to about a $1.25 billion CapEx spend through 2020 and leaking into 2021. Conveniently, if you look at Planes' acquisition, divestitures, CapEx program over the history, they have sold equity interest to fund other projects. And now, with such a large chunk of their 2020 CapEx budget already allocated to one project, and given that their 50% interest in the JV is worth $625 million and Carlyle's conveniently looking to sell this export facility for $625 million, it makes sense that possibly Planes would be more interested in the Carlyle facility versus maybe accumulating 100% ownership in this EPD Inner Harbor facility.
Okay, yeah, that's interesting. A couple of moving pieces there. So, like you said, Enterprise has more of an interest in the Houston market, which makes sense, right? All their pipes go to Sealy on the Midland to Sealy 1 and 2, the Seminole conversion line. It all goes directly to Houston. They are proposing to build out a VLCC facility that they're calling the Spot Terminal. I think it's about 2.2 million barrels per day of export capacity, significant storage, and hey, they already own a lot of storage out of Houston with the Houston Ship Channel assets. So yeah, I think that makes sense that from a resource allocation perspective, focusing on Houston over Corpus strategically probably makes more sense. I guess where I get confused, and we'll circle back to the Carlyle piece in a second. So I remember seeing a permit for Enterprise creating some gathering lines connecting their Eagleford assets. So they have EFS Midstream, there's the Eagleford JV with Planes that connect into Corpus. So they're building out more gathering lines to connect into the docks. And Gray Oak would also connect into those lines. So, I mean, if they're already putting in the effort to get the inland interconnects in place, why would they want to sell their Corpus asset? I mean, it's kind of a small fish, right?
Yeah, I think this comes from the view, and I think the market views those Inner Harbor terminals as somewhat disadvantaged versus an Ingleside terminal or a Harbor Island terminal or an offshore terminal for that matter. So if you look at the Houston terminals that are, not the Houston, I'm sorry, the Corpus Christi terminals, anything in that inner harbor, it takes the boats longer to get there. It isn't going to be fully dredged, so you won't be able to fully load a VLCC at that terminal, where at Ingleside and Harbor Island, you do have the possibility of those being fully dredged out and being able to fully load a VLCC there. So I think the market views it from at this point as those inner harbor terminals are viewed to be disadvantaged over the longer term. So if we're looking at enterprise, and Shireen, you mentioned it earlier, this is a company that is their entire business model is based on the value chain and capturing the dollars that molecule makes them all the way through the value chain. The value chain is pretty disconnected for them if we're talking about the value chain through the Corpus market. Add on top of that, you have a terminal that you're just got done completing that is in the Inner Harbor, viewed as being disadvantaged. It makes sense for them to potentially get rid of that or sell that as a non-core asset. You mentioned earlier they have other pipes that are take Eagleford volumes. They have their Eagleford JV pipeline, which captures some Eagleford volumes. It also captures some Cactus One volumes from Permian that feeds into the Corpus area today. I don't know if that's being planned on being sold either, but that's a potential asset that could also be sold and viewed as non-core. Really, they don't have the chain that they do from the Permian to the Houston market like they do into the Corpus market. So it would make sense, and the rumors may be true, that they are looking to monetize that asset going forward.
Yeah, makes sense. Very interesting dynamics though at play. What about from a multiples perspective? Any thoughts there?
I've seen some interesting numbers thrown around. I think it's important to know, AJ knows, what was the cost, the build cost of that terminal facility, if we're just looking at the terminal facility, Corpus Christi?
Yeah, so at the end of Q1, Plains had it on their 50% interest valued at 117. So we're assuming that collectively somewhere around the 235, under 250 range.
Yeah. So from that standpoint, you have an asset that the build cost is, let's call it 240 to 250. If we back into an estimated, hey, this is your export dock rate, and this is the rate you're going to get for storage of that facility, we get EBITDA of somewhere between 30 and 35 million, maybe closer to 35 million on that asset. So I wouldn't expect anything amazing from the sale of this asset. I mentioned earlier, I think most of the market does view that Inner Harbor as being disadvantaged over the long term. Doesn't mean it won't be a good asset for the next few years, but I think most people suspect that you'll have VLCC loading facilities out of Ingleside and Harbor Island and potentially offshore of Corpus going forward, so in the long term. So I would not expect anything in above, significantly above a 10x multiple on this one. So maybe they do better, slightly better than what they purchased or build cost of the facility at that 250, but I wouldn't expect anything amazing. Like some of the numbers I've seen out there are relatively high.
Yeah. There was someone who recently sold an Inner Harbor facility, right? If I'm remembering correctly.
Yeah, so Martin Midstream sold their Inner Harbor facility, and that did not go for more than $200 million for the full thing. I'm running this off the top of my head, but I believe it was slightly over $100 million. NuStar bought that facility. That facility was similar sized for Enterprise. I would note it would not have the connectivity to the Eagleford JV pipeline, which has connectivity to the Permian, like this terminal, Enterprise and Plains terminal, does. So Enterprise and Plains terminal is advantaged from that point of view. But from the standpoint of size and location, similar size, similar location in the Inner Harbor, and this was 2+ years ago when VLCCs weren't even being talked about, the sale of that asset went for... It wasn't anything amazing. It was slightly over $100 million, I believe.
Okay, and kind of circling back to what you were saying earlier, AJ, with Plains possibly not being as interested in owning the full interest in the Enterprise JV dock because they may be interested in purchasing it or having an interest in the Carlisle dock, which, you know, resolves some of the Inner Harbor issues. Is this something that would make more sense for private equity to pick up then?
I mean, private equity could always be a player in these deals. You know, from Plains' eye, they're very similar. Their focus is very similar to Enterprise, where is they want to provide complete access from the wellhead to the export facility.
Right.
And given all their focus right now on the Corpus Christi market, To me, it seems like strategically a logical choice for them to go with this asset, with the Carlisle asset.
Yeah.
I would be surprised if, you know, private equity were to walk away with this. I'm hoping that we're going to hear something in the next few weeks with the development of the supposed deal.
Perfect. Good stuff, guys. Did we miss anything for either of these deals that you think we should cover for our listeners?
No, I think last week was a pretty, you know, busy, exciting week, and this week kind of calmed down a little bit and gives us a chance to, you know, analyze some of the aspects of these deals and who they strategically align with. So we'll just wait for the final answers now.
Yeah, for sure. And last week, what AJ is referencing is the Liberty and Red Oak pipeline announcements, which we have an episode for. So if you're interested in getting our take on that, please look back in our reel of episodes for that one. As always, if you have any questions about this week's episode or any of our episodes, shoot us a message at insight@eastdaily.com. While you're at it, please do send us your feedback and any oil and gas questions you might have. You can subscribe to our podcast on several platforms, including Spotify, and on our website, eastdaily.com. We are adding new platforms every week, so watch out for more places to access our thoughts and our insights. Please do remember that anything you hear on this podcast is not intended to be investment advice, so do not invest based solely on what you hear on this episode. That wraps up this episode of The Medge. Thanks for listening, guys. We'll see you next time.